Don't look now, Lockwood said. There's two of them. I snatched a glance behind me and saw that he was right. Not far off on the other side of the glade, a second ghost had risen from the earth. Like the first, it was a pale, man-shaped curtain of mist that hovered above the dark, wet grass. Its head, too, seemed oddly skewed, as if broken at the neck. I glared at it, not so much terrified as annoyed. 12 months I'd been working for Lockwood & Co. as a junior field operative, tackling spectral visitors of every horrific shape and size. Broken necks didn't bother me the way they used to. Oh, that's brilliant, I said. Where did he spring from? There was a rasp of Velcro as Lockwood pulled his rapier clear of his belt. Doesn't matter. I'll keep an eye on him. You keep watching yours. I turned back to my position. The original apparition still floated about 10 feet from the edge of the iron chain. It had been with us for almost 5 minutes now and was growing in clarity all the time. I could see the bones on the arms and legs and the connecting knots of gristle. The wispy edges of the shape had solidified into flecks of rotten clothing. A loose white shirt, dark tattered breeches ending at the knee. Waves of cold radiated from the ghost. Despite the warm summer night, the dew below the dangling toe bones had frozen into glittering shards of frost. Makes sense, Lockwood called over his shoulder. If you're going to hang one criminal and bury him near a crossroads, you might as well hang two. We should have anticipated this. Well, how come we didn't then? I said. Better ask George that one. My fingers were slippery with sweat. I adjusted the sword grip in my hand. George? What? How come we didn't know there'd be two of them? I heard the wet crunch of a spade slicing into mud. A shovelful of soil spattered against my boots. From the depths of the earth, a voice spoke grumpily. I can only follow the historical records, Lucy. They show that one man was executed and buried here. Who this other fellow is, I haven't a clue. Who else wants to dig? Not me, Lockwood said. You're good at it, George. It suits you. How's the excavation going? I'm tired, I'm filthy, and I've found precisely zip. Apart from that, quite well. No bones? Not even a kneecap. Keep going. The source must be there. You're looking for two corpses now. A source is an object to which a ghost is tied. Locate that, and you soon have your haunting under control. Trouble is, it isn't always easy to find. Muttering under his breath, George bent to his work again. In the low light of the lanterns we'd set up by the bags, he looked like some giant bespectacled mole. He was chest deep in the hole now, and the pile of earth he'd created almost filled the space inside the iron chains. The big squared mossy stone, which we were sure marked the burial site, had long ago been upended and cast aside. Lockwood, I said suddenly. My one's moving closer. Don't panic, just ward it off gently. Simple moves like we do at home with Floating Joe. It'll sense the iron and keep well clear. You're sure about that? Oh yes, nothing to worry about at all. That was easy enough for him to say, but it's one thing practicing sword moves on a straw dummy named Joe in your office on a sunny afternoon, and quite another warding off a wraith in the middle of a haunted wood. I flourished my rapier without conviction. The ghost drifted steadily forwards. It had come fully into focus now. Long black hair flapped around the skull. Remnants of one eye showed in the left-hand orbit, but the other was a void. Curls of rotting skin clung to spars of bone on the cheeks, and the lower jaw dangled at a rakish angle above the collar.